A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy whose craziest summer vacation also involves not leaving the house at all this summer, Rob Cesterino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother coverage here on Big Brother 18. Ready to go after the two-hour premiere and a lot to talk about here with our panel. Happy that you guys can join us either here live on our YouTube channel or on the podcast version of our Big Brother 18 podcast. First of two nights, the two-night kickoff event of Big Brother 18, and a lot to break down. Here with us, two of our live feed correspondents with us on the panel. Here is first a man you'll hear from us. It is a Wednesday night, so he's in the appropriate spot, the great Alex Kidwell. How are you?
Good, Rob. People have been wondering if I'm going to, you know, bring it this podcast, how hard I'm going to come. And all I got to say is my last name Calafiore?
Is it?
Oh, it's not?
Is it?
Well, I might half-ass it like usual then. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And then joining us normally on eviction night, but here he is tonight, the great Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Rob, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Davon is safe. Yes.
Mama Day really came close tonight. Mama Day was on the brink. Ian Terry was tweeting, Mama Day looks like she's been crying in the diary room. This is not a good sign, but she is safe for the night. And she is back, one of four returnees who have come back here. We can finally talk about here, as we know, the entire cast of 16 here on Big Brother 18. Can you believe it? The seventh season of Big Brother we will talk about here on Rob Has a Podcast. How about that, Alex?
Yes, I'm excited.
Yes,
just like Victor, very excited. Yes.
Let's get into it. Many things to talk about here tonight as we have our full cast to break down and all of the major twists that were revealed. We were totally blindsided by teams coming up, which is sort of somewhere in between coaches and cliques. We will talk about that and our live draft and everything coming up as somebody will be evicted this tomorrow night. Thursday night here from Big Brother 18. A couple of things just at the top of the show, of course, we'll be live again Thursday night, 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. That same time here on robhasawebsite.com. You can also get it on our YouTube channel, robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Also, the live feeds will kick off as well around what? What are we expecting, Alex? Like midnight Pacific?
1 a.m. like actually.
I believe the announcement was 10 p.m. Pacific time Thursday night, which is Friday morning. Come on, CBS. Okay. Let's be real.
All right. So right around the time that we are sort of wrapping up, a little bit after that, we will get our live feeds kicking off here for Big Brother 18. These guys are salivating to get the live feeds going. Once again, if you want to get in on that action, you can use our link to purchase the live feeds. Lots of great places online to get the live feeds. But if you want to get them from us, robhasawebsite.com/livefeeds. Also, later on in the show, we are going to be working on, we have a new fantasy game that we are partnering with this season on Big Brother. PickPete.com allows you to pick four Big Brother house guests to be part of your fantasy team competing against people from around the world. We will give you our top four power rankings coming up later on the show as we put together our teams of four. We could just be like the returning players. Team Unicorn, Team Freakazoids. We could name our teams of four that we can set up at PickPete.com, and we'll do that later on in the show. All right, so let's just jump into this. Of course, the chat room is here. We'll take your questions live, hashtag RHAP with all that stuff. Okay, so let's jump into this, and I guess let's do our quick preview of our returning players that are here. We've been widely rumored, widely reported for about 2 weeks now. we finally got to see. I don't know why they hide it to the degree which they do. Everybody knew these were going to be the four returnees. So let's quickly go through them in the order of appearance. And Brent, why don't we start with Nicole is back.
Nicole is back, and she came out wearing not her glasses. So that's right. I barely recognized her, actually. She seemed a little overwhelmed by the whole experience. I think she was surprised that she was the first returnee there. And I was a little shaken as a fan of the vets how many of the players were anti-vet right off the top. They were like, you know, and they were at least new enough that Nicole had already had two chances. She's already come back once in her season. So yeah. They were like, no.
Victor knew that.
Yeah, right? Amazing. Three strikes and you're out for Nicole.
Now, Alex, how many people needed to sort of like huddle up before they knew that was Nicole that came out of the first treasure chest?
That's a good question. It's something we'd know better if we had feeds.
Who's that? Well, is that Brittany? Is that Brittany? Brittany's here? Who is that? No.
Oh, nobody knows who Brittany is. They haven't watched that.
That's not
back.
Brittany. Who is that? Who is that? And then like, hey guys. It's Nicole.
Of course. Yeah. As soon as she talks, you know, it's Nicole.
So she comes out. I actually feel like that, you know, when we had done all of our previews, I actually think that she's the person I feel the best about. Even she could be evicted tomorrow night. This could be the real kiss of death for her. But I really do feel like that she of these returnees, I feel like that she's set up particularly well. I think aside from Glenn, and we'll talk about Glenn, I think her team is set up well. Looks like that she's in good here with Corey. Brent, you feeling warm and fuzzy towards Nicole 2.0?
I like where she landed, except for the fact that she does have a 25% chance of going home tomorrow night. Although I'm praying it's Glenn, because that'll be great. Glenn will be out of the way. For those people asking on me on Twitter why I was saying, you know, it's okay if Glenn goes home, he's not really giving me much right now. And the whole thing about the dog, and I'm a dog groomer and I deal with all sorts of crap, that was such a canned line, even for Big Brother. I couldn't stand it. As for Nicole, I feel good. I like that she's sort of under Corey's wing. He doesn't seem to be particularly anti-veteran, so that's good for her. So I agree with your assessment. I think she can move forward in the game.
Alex, for people who might not be in this Big Brother stuff as much as we are, and especially as much as you guys are 365 days out of the year, could you give us the quick scouting report on Nicole as a player?
Oh, well, thanks for summarizing my life simply, Rob. I really appreciate that. I think she played the game 2 years ago now. She got involved with Hayden Voss, not to be confused with Hayden Moss.
Very confusing.
A little showmance. And, it did kind of end up creating, while she definitely, some people would argue that she was like the more strategic of the two and was kind of in control of their decisions. The fact remains it did put a target on them just being paired up. And, her game pretty much kind of did go the route of a lot of showmances where they kind of went out in unceremonious fashion and back-to-back order. She got a chance to get back in with the competition, wasn't really able to make any waves in the house, and kind of went right back out the revolving door. So, some people would argue this is a third chance for Nicole, given the fact that she had two lives in her first game. Most people would say that if coming into this game, if she needed to change anything, it was maybe probably to develop some degree of a killer instinct that she didn't show her first time out.
Okay, do you have faith that she will find it this time around, Alex?
Not so much. No, certain things I didn't like, obviously we don't have feeds, but the moment at the very end of the episode where, it's kind of like as the credits are rolling, they give you a glimpse into like conversations that are happening, mostly mundane, but it was a bit of like what I remember from Nicole BB16, which is like when the chips aren't falling your way, don't like throw a pity party. Don't like, yeah, it can be very easy to just kind of like get down on yourself and your luck, but you need to fight harder now more than ever. And, hopefully she can do that. Obviously, pulling in Corey the way she seems to have is that's good.
Why?
Yeah. Nicole can do that. And we saw a little bit of that tonight. I'll still say that of these people in this cast, it's kind of a really crazy cast handicap. There's nobody that really stands out. I'll call her as my winner pick. I thought Ian Terry had some really interesting things to say, that he did an auction draft with Dom and Colin on that podcast, and that he said that he felt strongly about her evolution as a player coming back for the second time around. So I think that she's going to be the person. Again, remember that she famously was the one that figured out that Derek was all like, oh, you're Dan. And so I think that she maybe with people that are not as perceptive as Derek, maybe she has a better shot this time around. Okay. Second person who came out of the box was, and it seems like that they really set this up for him, it was James, and not crazy James, Alex.
Yeah, James emerging like Peter Dinklage from under the stairs in Game of Thrones with a crossbow.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll take blood and I wiped it like war paint.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, the moment you saw people popping out of suitcases, you knew who was in mind when they set this whole thing up. This had James written all over it.
Brent, James said, boy, I was so close to winning the game last season, and then I got evicted. Do you remember that last summer when James was right there, right about to snatch victory away from Steve?
That was in an alternate universe. I almost fell off my chair when he said that. I'm like, what are you talking about? You weren't even close. You weren't even sniffing it. And on the night that you were evicted, you basically gave up in the veto. Ugh.
Well, given the game he was playing, he was one comp, you know, winning streak away, which, you know, granted, the length of a comp winning streak may vary.
He was right there. He was right there.
It's one streak away.
Okay. So, Alex, how are you feeling about the return of James?
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, but he's set up with a team that has immunity here for the first couple of weeks. And so I think he's going to be fine for a while, but I do feel like that eventually I think he's going to be trying to make a power play here. But I feel like that these first couple of weeks are kind of set up well for James. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's one to target immediately. First of all, if you watched his season, and we know they at least watched his season, and you decide James is the returnee you need to target first, you weren't paying very good attention, because he's not the most strategic of these people. I mean, I don't think he would even try to argue that.
Yeah, definitely not.
But you know, yeah, at the same time, like, I don't know that his chances of winning are very good, because I don't know what he may have learned since last summer that will change drastically. Because last summer, I mean, he was like, mostly the Alliance was taking, you know, the sage words of Meg as gospel. And that was just like running him to ruin. So unless he's, you know, figured out a way to strategize more effectively, it's going to be tough.
Now, can you remind me, what was James's backstory with Vanessa? Because I feel like that did not get covered extremely well on the show tonight. Where do things stand with James and Vanessa as Big Brother 17 ended, Brent?
I think they were okay. I mean, Alex would have to help me out more than this. I know that he certainly respected Vanessa towards the end. I don't think there's any hard feelings.
But did she have a part in his ouster from the game? And do you feel like that could be something that's paid forward by Tiffany?
Yeah, she had a definite part to play.
Or towards
right,
Tiffany?
Right, there was a definite part that she had to play, you know, along with the Oss twins in terms of getting James out of the house when they did. But it was James and Meg's own doing by keeping Vanessa in the house. You know, they were the ones that made their bed with Vanessa. They got rid of Shelley, kept Vanessa, and then Vanessa, in turn with her alliance, evicts both of them the next 2 weeks. So James really has no one to blame but himself there.
Alex, do you see James wanting to get, he loves blood. Do you see him wanting to get blood on from Tiffany for Big Brother 17?
I think it may come down to a question of need. I don't know how long, I noticed this. I happened to look away from my screen for a moment and Tiffany got a DR and I immediately was like, oh, Vanessa's in the house. Like, I just had one of those, like, a Vietnam-esque flashback. I mean, it's just, you know, that is the same voice. James probably has met Tiffany. I'd be shocked if they haven't. Vanessa is the kind of person who's probably playing for a return opportunity right when they leave the house. So she probably invited everyone to Vegas and comped them on something because, like, that's how she rolls, and good on her, because that's clever post-game strategy. But, I think that James might need to work with Tiffany. I mean, it depends. This whole team situation really throws everything in flux. So we don't know, like, to what degree people are going to need to form, you know, intra-team alliances, or, you know, how necessary it's going to be in the early phase of the game, at least.
Okay, we had Mama Day from last season return. Brent, I know you're pumped up for Davon to come back this season. My winner pick
from season 17 here to redeem both herself and me.
Wow. I mean, I felt like this entire 2-hour premiere was about Mama Day and her journey. Are you with me on this? Like, I felt like every diary room.
Oh, I thought she was done.
I thought every diary room. Well, I thought so too, because I know that the people who edited this show already know the outcome of what's already happened. So we were getting a lot of Mama Day, and I'm like, oh girl, I do not feel good about this. And not only that, it's amazing to me how she basically picked a team full of sharks. I mean, the people on her team are so anti-veteran. Yeah. it's amazing to me that all three of them landed on that team. And then, not only that, it's going to be interesting to see what the rules are going forward. She may have inadvertently lucked into a good position here, because I don't know the rules, but I'm going to wager a guess that if someone on your team wins head of household, they probably can't nominate other people on their team. So if somebody on her team who is anti-veteran wins head of household, it's a good bet they probably won't be able to touch Mama Day. So she may have lucked into probably what otherwise should be a bad position.
Well, she's in a good landing spot, I thought, to be with the people that are really targeting the vets. Because if anybody could say, like, hey, who, me? What vet am I? I was here 2 weeks. I'm barely a vet, a little bit more than you guys are. So I feel like that she was in a good spot to be able to go into some sort of undercover with the newbies. But Alex, shades of Mama Day 2015 seem to be rearing their head as if you recall, and I know that you do, but for the listeners, that she got into it very early on with Clay, famously, in the first week of BB17. And now here she is, back and forth with Paul.
Yeah, really. It wasn't just Day, but we got a lot of Paul tonight, and really kind of like a setup of, like, makes me think that maybe there's tomorrow night we'll see some kind of big blow up between Day and Paul, because the friction was like beginning to boil over in that last competition where Paul's like, yeah, all right, leave it there. Don't ever like, he was like making the kind of comments, you know, Boston Rob makes when he's directing a challenge. But then he was like, he didn't know what he was doing to that level. Like, leave that there. Don't ever touch it again. Oh, for now. We'll have to touch it later, obviously. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty poor direction.
Rob,
from Paul.
I will say that. I read this on Twitter from Princess Glammy. Love her tweets, by the way. She said that Davon is on Team Davon. She's not on Team Big Sister. She's on Team Davon, and that's the way she wants it. Unfortunately, Davon, you're going to have to play nice with these people at least for a couple weeks. So just put on that happy face, girl, and suck it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So more on that to come. And then finally, Frank Udy is back. Frank the Tank. Here he is. A new look for Frank, Alex.
Yeah, it's like when Psycho Sid, I can't remember when he like broke his, you know, tore his ACL and MCL and came back better than ever and won the gold. You know what I mean? This looks like this could be the beginning of Frank's redemption arc here. He looks pretty polished now, and he's saying the right things in the diary room. So
yeah, I don't know. Brett, Frank seemed like very understated on the return, which I guess is probably a good thing for Frank's chances.
Good thing for Frank's chances. He came in like a house of fire during Big Brother 14. So I'm glad that he's at least looking like a team player, looking a little more understated. He seemed to be a little bit overwhelmed by the whole experience. I mean, he is 3 years removed from this, and he was the last vet to enter. So it did look to me like he was a little bit like a deer in headlights at first, but he seemed to get his footing well. He seemed to have a good team, and his team really likes him. That's important.
Yeah.
And the best thing he could have done is what he did, which is not win the competition to start the thing out.
Yeah, very good. Alex, for people who don't remember all the way back to Big Brother 14, could you give us that scouting report on Frank?
Sure. Yeah. Frank is basically the closest thing. If you've watched Survivor, he's the closest thing Big Brother's really had to a Joe Anglim. This is the guy that, you know, not strategically terrible, but, you know, he was put in a position where he basically had no strategic play simply because of how dominant he was in the challenges. Everyone knew what a threat he was. There was no getting around his presence in the house. Every week he was either winning HOH and in power, or he was being put on the block and forced to win veto to save himself. He really had very little wiggle room the entire season, simply due to how early on he was pegged as a physical threat and how dominant that, you know, how obvious that proved as the season continued to play out.
Also, Frank, the son of wrestling legend Psycho Sid, Alex.
Psycho Sid Udy, yep. Who also, yep, left due to injury, came back better than ever, and won the championship.
Okay.
I don't know.
So the four returnees are here. In addition, we have the siblings that we got to see in action for the first time. Two different approaches for the siblings. We got to see Cody's brother, Paulie, reveal to the house tonight that he was Cody's brother. Brent, I know you have been the highest on Paulie out of the group going into the season. Did you feel like that was a good spot for him?
I think it was the only thing he could do. I mean, I was stunned that somebody didn't call him out right away. I mean, he looks exactly like Cody. At least three different people put Cody down as their inspiration or their favorite player on their apps. There are a few other people who didn't put Cody down who are fans of the show.
On their apps?
On their applications. Yeah. No, okay, sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
Bro, I know.
Oh, sorry. I'm a little late on the joke. Anyway, so I was stunned that nobody was calling him out. Like, how can you people not realize who this is? I really did feel like this was a little bit of gamesmanship with the editors of Big Brother. I have to believe there's some people in corridors saying to each other, you know, that's Cody's brother, right? He looks exactly like Cody. But, you know, they didn't let us see any of that until Cody dropped the big bomb and made it look like he was revealing something that everybody probably knew in the first place.
I did love the sly way that we got the knowledge that Davon knew who Tiffany was. She's like, I'm sitting here. I see the sister of the poker player to my left. You know, that was great. So maybe we'll get something like that from somebody regarding Paulie, too.
Now, how much do you feel like the contestants were able to sort of like do detective work, Alex, and how much do you feel like that some of the leaks that went on before the season, but even before players were in sequester, were a part of this, where people knew, people had information from social media on who was going to be on this season?
Yeah, I don't know exactly when the 12 new players were, you know, abducted, so to speak. So, you know, it's hard to know exactly, but yeah, there was definitely a time rumors were out there. And, you know, we knew people were still around because James went on Periscope saying like, no, I'm definitely not playing this summer, you guys, but I can't wait to see who it is. I'm not into Sexquester right now and know, stuff like that.
Whoa. So
he pronounced it like six different ways and none of them were the way I'm used to.
But, you mean the right way?
Yeah, that's the one. So, yeah, you know, that definitely could be a factor. We know that the rumors were out there certainly before the returnees were in.
All right. And then so you've kind of felt like that, knowing that all of this stuff is out there. And I remember even like before those rumors were out there, there were rumors that Vanessa's sister was going to potentially play because there had been people had been speculating that Vanessa typed into a Twitter search about her name and BB17 or her sister's name. And so people were already kind of talking about that. And then here's Vanessa's sister with this opportunity to say to the group, okay, everybody, look, I'm also, not only is Cody's brother here, but Vanessa's sister is here also. Brent, did you feel like that was a mistake for Tiffany to not take that opportunity to sort of have like a clean opportunity to say, hey, here's who I am too.
Right. I think it was a huge missed opportunity by her. Drop the ball. All she had to do was say, oh, I feel so much better now. I didn't want to say anything before, but now that I see that, you know, that there's somebody, some other sibling here, I feel like I can tell you guys that I am Vanessa's sister. I think that would have went over pretty well. Instead, she's now in a position where she's one of four vulnerable people going into a competition. We don't know how it is. We don't know if there's any strategy about helping each other or whatever. If Davon and or anybody else for that matter, like Michelle, who knows who this chick is, she could really be in trouble here in the first week. I mean, I don't see it, but she could be.
Alex, I feel like that the over-strategizing, I feel like, is my big concern here with Tiffany. We saw her in the interviews with Big Jeff, where Big Jeff was like, okay, so are you anybody's sister that we might know? And he's like, what? Who? Me? What? Sister? What? I don't have a sister. I'm like, oh. We saw this happen then with Michelle. And the most bizarre thing out of all of this is that she came out and accused Michelle of being Nicole's sister. Said, hey, are you her sister? I'm just like, what is she doing? Why is she? Don't we know that in true poker player terms, whoever smelt it, dealt it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is in many ways a classic Vanessa Russo play. We're talking about the sister of the girl who accused Clay and Johnny Mack of being lovers outside of the house or of having some kind of fraternal relationship. Like, this is the kind of speculation that runs through the Russo brain. It's operating on a very high level. Sometimes it's working overtime and it's not even, you know, it's not for its own benefit, I think. Very interesting to me to see Michelle Meyer get the best of that exchange.
Yeah.
You know, because often you would see Vanessa approach something like that, maybe the way Tiffany approached it, but the end result would be different, where Vanessa comes away looking like the winner of the exchange. Tiffany didn't come away looking like the winner of this. She came away looking like someone who had to, you know, we went too hard and had to kind of like back away with her tail between her legs a little bit. So good on Michelle there.
It really is absurd to me that nobody sat down Tiffany and said, look, you and your sister have the same exact voice. You look a lot alike. You cannot fool people who are saying, like, you cannot deny this and not come off bad. You have to own this.
I don't know. I can see where she's coming from a little bit, in that she's just trying to make it through this first few days, let people get to know her as herself, and then maybe tell them she knows it's going to come out. I hear what you're saying. I really do.
The cover-up is worse than the lie.
In life. I'm not sure that's true in the Big Brother house sometimes. I've seen people who get caught before in the Big Brother house, and the people, they have other access to grind or other things to do. I think she's just trying to stay clear with her nose clean for now until it has to come out.
Or maybe once Polly reveals, you know, she's thinking, all right, I have to win the first HOH, then I can come out once I've established that safety.
She could be the first HOH.
Inroads,
that would be hilarious.
I just feel like that you need to just, like, get it out there, get it out in the open. People did not care that Willie Hance was Russell Hance's brother enough. It was his own behavior in the house that doomed him. That he was able to overcome that. She could overcome being Vanessa's sister for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, hopefully she's not asking Bronte to hit her anytime too soon. Hit me.
Okay. All right. So that's a big part of who's here. We had three big twists dropped on us. Of course, the first twist was the returning players that we knew was happening. The two next twists we did not know about, and we were blindsided by this idea of the house guests are playing the game in teams. And really, at this hour, all of Big Brother Nation, Big Brother Planet here, we're really kind of clueless as to how this is all going to work on a week-to-week basis. Brent, are you happy to see the teams return? That we've seen teams before in, what, Big Brother 11? We had the Cliques. We had the Coaches, which was kind of a team in Big Brother 14.
I am happy to see it return because of two things. One, it takes the place of Battle of the Block, which I absolutely hate. Two, when people are put in teams, I find that when you watch these shows, a lot of times they can't stand their own team members after a couple weeks, and they are just jonesing to go after people on their own team. So when the floodgates are opened after, you know, week four, week five, and Julie says, you know, the game is reset, everybody's playing individually now, I bet your bottom dollar you're going to see people who are on the same team going after each other. Because they just can't stand being with these people anymore.
Alex, are you pumped up for teams?
You know, it's hard to know how long it's going to last, and it really does kind of make it a different game. So I'm not crazy about it, but I see why they went this route. Certainly they love, you know, being able to include, you know, multiple. I mean, they've got multiple competitions tonight that are new and that have stakes. So, you know, I get why they went this route.
Yeah. If the alternative is Battle of the Block, which is the lesser of the two evils in your mind, Alex?
Depends on how long teams last. If this is like a,
four
you
weeks.
Know, a,
4 weeks of teams.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. It's too soon for me to say, Rob.
Oh, my gosh.
Abstain.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I can make a call.
This is great. I love this. This is something new. We haven't seen this in a while. The players have to adapt to this. You saw Davon already going nuts that she's with people that she doesn't like. There's some other people that are on teams with some people they like and some people they can't stand. I mean, that's going to give us good TV. I would rather take that over a rigged Battle of the Block competition. And by rigged, I mean the players themselves rigging it, not Big Brother.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go through what happened in our team selection draft, because that'll give us a good chance to sort of talk through all of the 16 players. Wait, is it 15 or 16, Alex?
16?
There's one more. Because I only counted 15 spots.
I don't know, Rob. I'm not good at math. Yeah. I thought this was your suit.
Okay. Now, all 16 players, and we'll go through it. They drew numbers randomly, and lo and behold, wow, Frank had the number one
pick.
What
a surprise.
In the draft. Was there some symmetry? Was Frank the number one pick overall back in Big Brother 14?
Oh, wow. That's an Alex.
Oh, man, that sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
If he wasn't, somebody dropped the ball. Now he looks the part.
Pay it forward. Okay, so the way that this draft was going to go was that you got to pick one person, then you got to pick somebody from the opposite sex, from whoever was left. Survivor has done this before in the past. I feel like that notably, I think Survivor Palau, was how that started with the two tribes. Thankfully, there was no Wanda or Jody that was sort of at the end. The Wanda and Jody thing, they were different, but somebody at least is going to make it to the second night of Big Brother. So Frank had the first pick overall, ends up going with Michelle. Alex, did you like that pick overall?
I think it's a pretty good pick for Frank. You know, there's... You have to take a female. You have to take, somebody who's obviously a new player. Given the parameters that he's given, he picks the girl that immediately A, knew him, and was B, a fan of his. So I think that's, given the limited information you have, I think that's as wise a choice as any.
Okay. The second pick overall was Team Davon, and she picked Pauly. And it was our Topaz moment, as she did not mean to pick Pauly. She meant to pick Paul. And Brent, I think she would have liked to have had a mulligan on this one. Maybe she was right the first time.
I think she was right the first time. I was literally screaming at the TV like, no, you don't want this other guy. You want the first one. Get him back. You do not want Paul on your team.
And this had the double negative effect of the Aubrey, cross out a name from Survivor, where it's like, if anyone's going to be the kind of guy that's slighted for like being picked and then oops, not being picked, it's an alpha bro who's always picked first at anything he's ever done his entire life, like Pauly.
Right. And she was so rude about it. She was like, no, I don't want you. Oh, what are you doing? I don't want you. Like,
get back in the line, Calafiore.
Yeah. I would have been like, if it was me, like, oh, I really shouldn't have picked that guy. Just play it off like, oh, I meant to do that. She's like, no, I don't want you. And she ends up with a guy that hates her in Paul.
I wanted the CD drifter behind you. Yeah, okay. Good call.
So Paul is going to be a controversial figure for sure for as long as he lasts in the house. I saw a lot of people on Twitter already have had it with Paul. They want him gone. Alex, in the draft that you guys did the other night on Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, a very fun draft, you had high hopes for Paul. You were high on Paul. You felt like that he could be good. You felt like that he was coming in. He was going to own that he was going to be the bad guy, potentially. It seems like that is the case. Are you liking what you're seeing from Paul?
I love it. Yeah, I think some people forget how important it is to have polarizing figures on this show for the, for the quality of the entertainment perspective. We need people to root for, and we only have people to root for if there are people to root against. You need duality in everything in life. So I think Paul is great. I understand people, you're like, well, he's just annoying right now. It's like, that's the point. You lay the groundwork of annoying so that, this guy's ego is going to build. And then when it inevitably explodes, it's going to be one of people's all time favorite moments. So I see the road it's going down, and I'm happy to travel it.
Right. You in or out on Paul?
I'm in on Paul. I'm not necessarily rooting for him, but I'm glad he's on my television. I remember when we had this conversation last week and I said, I don't know why this guy's here. And you were like, well, I know why he's here. He's going to stir things up. I like him because at least he's not going the way of Big Brother 13. We're all of the newbies just basically laid down. They let the vets have their way. This guy is like, that ain't gonna happen. It's our time. You already had your chance. Get the old heads out of here. It's our time. So I'm glad there's somebody in there who's at least fighting for that position in the house. I think it makes for a more exciting game.
And due respect, I think this is what Austin Mattelson told us he was going to do last summer, but we didn't really see much of it.
Judas.
Like,
what about when he was Judas?
Villain. Yeah, he put on a top hat of it. A top hat does not a villain make, Rob.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, so I like what I'm seeing from Paul so far.
I'll make it a clean sweep that I am happy that Paul's here too.
You want the TV?
Yes.
Yes.
Does everybody want good
yes.
TV?
Yes.
Is that what they want?
Supposedly. Yes.
Yes.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm happy that Paul is here. He seems like that he is stirring the pot up, and this is how I like my villains on reality TV. Seems like no ad hominem attacks or anything like that. So he's saying, "Oh, Mama Day, I'll be a nice guy. I'll let you stay. I'll let you go out third this time, fourth this time. That's fun to me." So even though I'm rooting for Davon, I think that that team overall, this is my favorite team of this group, Big Sister. So I'm excited to see what Paul can do, even though I get it why everybody is hating him. But that's good. You need that kind of stuff on Big Brother. Otherwise, it's going to be a boring season and you should provide some entertainment. Okay. James is the third pick. And Alex, can you believe that James decides to go with Natalie here in this spot? That seems very uncharacteristic of him to pick an attractive young female to be in his alliance.
Simply shocking, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here he is.
Never could have seen this coming.
No, we couldn't see this coming. Here's a little bit of James from tonight.
Natalie's butt is right in my face. I mean, literally right here. Normally, this would be a good thing, and I really don't want to complain about it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to complain about it.
It was like a Jesse from BB10.
Yeah, what was that sound effect? Like, and then the Grinch's butt grew three
Natalie's
sizes
butt
that day.
Is right in my face. I mean, literally right here. Normally, this would be a
boom.
Yeah, it's. The weird, offhanded comments. Simply adorable.
Yeah, that would that'd be a good thing. Yeah. All right, America's favorite player. All right, there you go. It's James. All right, so James has Natalie. Although Natalie was not as bad as we might have thought in our preview, that we were very concerned about Natalie being a total disaster, Brent. She really had a fine first night.
She had a fine first night. She was at least somewhat flirting.
Doesn't know what cavalry
means. Right, exactly. I'm not calling her the winner of Big Brother, but she had a fine first night. She didn't do anything that was terrible. I think that, I will say this, that the mechanism of the game so far, I think maybe could save her because she can't get into an alliance with three women right now because of the way the teams are. She might not be able to target people that she wants because of the way the teams are set up. Because like I said, I guarantee you, you're not going to be able to target somebody on your own damn team. So they haven't said that yet, but I'm sure that's what's going to happen. Just like the cliques in Big Brother 11. So,
right. You'll win immunity for
exactly,
the group.
I think that this format of the game will save her from herself.
Okay. Yeah, she'll be fine for a little bit. Okay, so then the fourth pick goes to Nicole. She picks Corey. Makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure how Davon, again, went with Paul here. Seems like Paulie or Corey would have been better picks on the board, but somehow that Corey slips all the way to Nicole at number four. Brent, that I know that that there's been a lot of talk about Corey coming into the season. Anything that you took away from him tonight?
He seems like a very personable guy. I'm glad that he's not anti-vet because I like the vets that are here for the most part, except for James. And James is okay. I just don't care for James personally. He looks like he wants to protect Nicole, and he seems like a pretty loyal guy. So, everybody was hating on Corey. Give him a chance.
Alex, any takeaway on Corey?
I will say that, Davon may have caught a stray bullet by, drafting Paul there without realizing kind of that he'd already formed this group. But she also missed a stray bullet by not taking Clay's Texas A&M baseball teammate in Corey, because her and Clay have had their issues in the past. So
that's true.
Yeah.
But that would have been a little bit of that's a lot of connected dots to get to.
But if that comes out in the wash, that could throw Davon for a tailspin, and that's something she doesn't need.
Okay. All right. So then they get to go back around snake draft style. Corey ends up with a pick with Tiffany. And here we go. Looks like this team is pretty stacked so far. You got Nicole, you got Corey, you got Tiffany here. Feels like that this is going to be a team which is locked and loaded and ready to go. Yet one of these three may end up going home.
Yeah, well, I can't really tell what was the problem. I mean, a lot of these competitions that they seem to have had at least some element of teamwork, but also an element of luck in them as far as like trying to build it. I mean, both teams were almost right on the castles there at the end. Glenn, to his credit, was trying to get people to correct things, but I don't think they really respected Glenn enough. And I also don't know how hard Glenn really fought for his idea that, hey, these aren't really right. So I can't really give him that much credit either.
Then the sixth pick was Natalie. She picks Victor, and we have a potential love connection going on here. My big takeaway from the introductions of all the cast members was mostly Big Brother 18 cast members be thirsty, Alex. And it looks like that we could have potentially a romance brewing between Natalie and Victor. And I do wonder how that's going to sit with James.
It's almost as if they cast the season with these things in mind, Rob.
Never.
Interesting. Interesting. So here is Victor. He would go on to win the challenge. And we were concerned that he might come off as kind of douchey. I felt like that Victor had a pretty okay night, Brent, right? Nothing too much to complain about, except that he really put himself out there, right?
And he seems very fun in the diary room. He seemed to be in on the joke a little bit that, you know, hey, I'm here for some fun and from some ladies and, yeah, you know, I have a body and that sort of thing. I think it was very fun to hear him in the diary room calling himself the Puerto Rican sensation.
Puerto Rican sensation. Right. There's your hashtag for Victor.
I would like to just quickly point out that a lot of times it's circumstances that make a douche in the Big Brother house. So, you know, I believe that maybe the ingredients are there, but you need to add like a dash of HOH and a touch of majority alliance and then see what we get from Victor.
Brent, one of the odder moments of the night was that when we were getting all of our introductions to the house guests, that we stopped down, you know, the people talking about like, oh, that Natalie, she's so hot, or this person, they're so hot. When we got to Victor, we stopped down and Corey talked about how attractive Victor is. What's going on there?
Maybe that's Big Brother trying to do a little bit of saving Corey's rep after some of the things that he previously tweeted on Twitter. I don't know where that's coming from, but I thought it was interesting. It was a little fun. There's always some bromance on Big Brother somewhere, so they gave it to Corey this time.
All right, so with the seventh pick overall, finally, we go back to Mama Day's team, and Zakiya, is that right? Zakiya.
It's Zakiya, but don't blame yourself because her own alliance partner doesn't even get it right.
Okay, so here's Zakiya, and now we have this moment where Jose, Zakiya, and Paul were all talking, all conspiring, and now they're all going to end up on the team with Mama Day, little does she know. And so this is set up where this alliance, because I'm a little worried at the point, Alex, where they're all talking. I'm like, oh, is this the second coming of the regulators where they're talking about we got to get out these returning players? But now it looks like at least they're in this thing together.
Yeah, and I thought, I could be mistaken, but I really thought I heard Paul say something about the friendship in there. And I'm sure he's never watched Big Brother 6, but if that's what they're going to call themselves, that could be interesting.
Yeah. Well, okay, that was before they branded themselves Big Sister. Finally, at pick number 8, Michelle gets the pick. She picks Pauly, and finally, Pauly is relieved. The horror it would have been for him to be picked last, but really surprising that Pauly does get to fall to pick number 8 here in this draft. And a real steal, wouldn't you say, for this team now, which is going to be the, what is it, the level 4?
Category 4.
Category 4. Category 4 has Frank and Pauly and Michelle. They'll add Bridget there on the turn here as well. And so this is a team that looks pretty stacked, Brent.
Yeah, they look pretty stacked. But, you know, as Taryn has often pointed out to me in our podcast together, the competitions in Big Brother, you know, it's a lot of carnival games, a lot of luck-based things. So even though a team can look stacked, I mean, it's not like it's a bodybuilding competition, for heaven's sake.
But this is a different game. I mean, this is more going to be like Survivor. We saw tonight that the challenges were more Survivor-esque, these four-person challenges, that this is not going to be your typical Big Brother challenges that we're going to be competing in as teams of four.
Yeah, but also, are they going to be more competitions like the latter competitions where they have to work together, or are they going to be more competitions like the former where it's basically the last team member hanging on to whatever, you know, it manages to keep your entire team safe for the week? If that's how they're going to play it, then obviously the guys with the tank or the teams with the tanks on them are going to be the ones that have the advantage.
Alex, I feel like that in Frank and Pauly, I think we found a pair that is going to bro down here for a while.
It's very possible, but that would also, I think, be a very obvious pair because you've got one returnee who's clearly the better or the more physically obvious returnee of the two between him and James. And then, you know, couple that with Cody's brother and the way he's played off being Cody's brother. That could be a very big target very quickly. So Frank might find himself back in his usual position of win or go home, which is not He doesn't want to get there too fast this time.
Yeah. All right. So pick number 10 was we got to see Jose go back with Zakiya and Paul to round out the big sister team, which I think that is going to be very fun to watch. With the 11th pick now that there's no choices left because Victor needs to pick a female. So Bronte, first time we're talking about her tonight. We talked a lot about Bronte in the preseason about how that Alex, you were sort of in the middle. Brent, you were out on Bronte and then you came back. So where do you stand after one night of Bronte?
Well, I don't think that her voice is nearly as annoying watching it as it was during the interview. Maybe that's just me, but it seemed like it was maybe an octave down from where she was.
You didn't know it was coming. Yeah. So it was a blindside in those interviews.
Exactly. Although somebody did say in the diary room that talking to her, it sounded like she had sucked a bunch of helium out of a balloon or something. I liked what she was giving us in the diary room. She was very, very funny. She seemed to be in on the joke. I like contestants that are in on the joke who seem to know what the show wants of them and what America wants of them. So she made me laugh. I like her.
Alex, where are you on Bronte?
Somewhat invisible this episode, a little early for me to say, but I think she has more game awareness than a lot of people in this house, which is good because there's going to be so many automatic targets to start this season that people who might naturally be a target in a normal season might be able to float by for a while, and she might find herself in a good position if she knows what to do from there. Then who knows?
Did you like when she needed to go get Zen? Try to get Zen as well. Our moment of Zen from Bronte.
And yeah, those kinds of things will, make people think you're not thinking in there, which is good because who knows? Maybe she is.
She'll get airtime. And then finally, the last person to be drafted, wow. the dreaded last spot. I believe that was the Jody spot, correct? Also, Alex?
Historically great.
Here it is. Your boy from the Boogie Down Bronx, it's Glenn. We did debate Glenn quite a bit on the preview show of where he was going to be and how he was going to end up playing. I did not have high hopes for Glenn. I felt like that he was going to come in and be a bit of a disaster. But even in my wildest prognostications, I could not imagine Glenn going out on night two, which he should be the prohibitive favorite to be that person who is sitting with Julie Chen tomorrow night, Alex.
Yeah, well, it really is. It was just a terrible draw for him, really. I mean, you know, people talk about, like, I wish there was older players in the house, but then if you're going to skew it to competitions like this, then don't be surprised if one of the older players is one of the ones on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. He was so close to being safe, too, because remember, even though everybody in their team fell off right away, Corey was hanging on until the final two. I mean, if Victor falls off there, you know, we're not even having this discussion, but instead now he has a 25% chance to go home, probably more because there's no competition where I see
85%.
Right, I see no competition where Corey is going to lose to Glenn in anything. It's just a little unfortunate that it's coming down to a competition and he can't even use his social skills to try to get out of the precarious position that he's in right now.
Yeah, really the worst case scenario for Glenn was to come in and have a situation where his back was going to be against the wall here in the first 24, 36 hours of being in the house. And that's going to be exactly the situation that he's going to be in. The only thing that potentially could save him, I think that the second most likely person to go home, I think, is Tiffany, because I could certainly see her having some sort of meltdown, Brent. Do you see that as a possibility? Is that the only thing that could save Glenn?
I don't know. Somehow on Big Brother, they always tend to get their way. I think we all know who they would rather have their druthers go home. It's Glenn. They don't want to lose Corey. They don't want to lose Nicole. They don't want to lose Tiffany. I mean, can you imagine Vanessa's sister going out on the first week? There's no way. No way that could happen. Hope not.
Alex, could it happen?
I can imagine
it. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can definitely imagine it. Yeah, no, I think that, you know, like if... Well, it's, you know, again, it's going to say, like, if it's competition, then that's just going to determine who goes home. Then it's a bit of a crapshoot. I think Nicole math is a bit generous. It's not 25% across the board. Corey and Glenn having a fair shot in a random competition
but
is not...
Alex,
That's not the odds I'd throw, but...
No way this is going to be a random competition. I guarantee you we're going to see some hold-on-to-the-rail endurance competition where big guys like Glenn always go out first. There's, no, I'm telling you, it ain't going to be something where everybody has a fair chance. No way.
Hey, well, you know, as long as he gives it a solid New York try and, like, doesn't... You know, as long as he doesn't decide he has to be the bad guy, then, you know, it's possible. He's got a shot still. And I expected more from Tiffany. Like I said in the kind of draft that we did, I watched Tiffany in this sequester game stack 9 solo cups on the back of her hand end to end and then like do stuff and then finish the competition and dominate. And she's not looking great in the comp so far. I'm a little surprised.
So we'll see that. I do hope that Glenn can somehow pull it out, but I don't know exactly then who goes home in his spot. I do think that Glenn does have the upside to be one of the all-time memorable Big Brother first boots. I think that he's almost maybe could reach Mount Rushmore.
Maybe, I don't know. But I will say this, though. I would just like to point out to everybody how much of a bullet Big Brother dodged if you're somebody who's a fan of the vets, because if the reverse had happened and Big Sister was the one who was going into tomorrow night, you know, I think Devon was probably the clear person of the four who probably would have gone home. And then one of those three people would get head of household and they would probably target another vet because they're so anti-vet.
Oh, very interesting. But, you know, we don't know what the competition is going to be. You don't know necessarily that Devon would have lost the individual competition to those
four. I agree, but she's not in great spirits right now. She just needed one good thing to happen to snap herself out of it. And now she's out of it, so I have high hopes.
I was just going to say, maybe just given a little time to, important to remember that, you know, things can change very quickly. And, you know, obviously the knee-jerk reaction is to get rid of the vets. But I recall Adam Pock looking in the camera as soon as the vets walked in and going, and Adam Pock carried them all the way to the end. Yeah. So, well, you know, things change. People change.
They didn't need to be carried, bro. So then let's talk about what could potentially happen as which team is this? What are the Freakazoids? Yep.
The Freakazoids, they're up for eviction here.
Freakazoids.
Okay, so the Freakazoids then, one of the Freakazoids, though, is going to be HOH.
We are the Freakazoids.
Yes, and one will be the HOH following Glenn if he does go out. So who do we think is going to be the HOH? Because they're going to have to decide as a group, correct? This is going to be a situation where then after somebody goes, they decide, Brett, is that right?
I think very clearly Nicole would be the HOH here. I think Corey doesn't want it, but I think he would side with Nicole. Nicole would vote for herself, assuming that they do let her vote for herself. And, you know, Tiffany might want it, but I don't think she's going to be able to get the votes for it if they decide as a group.
Alex, how do you see it going down? Because I could also see Nicole not wanting that spotlight in the first week. And I do see a scenario where Tiffany is going to say, okay, I need to get an HOH on my resume because I need to win a bunch of HOHs. I'm going to win the game. So I'm going to need to have that. That's going to look at my resume for the end of the game. So I need to go ahead and be the first HOH. Don't you think that that could be the best case scenario for us as Big Brother watchers of the live feeds and the TV show?
Oh yeah, it'd be fantastic. And I definitely think it's you know, if it goes down that way, if it's those three deciding which one of them is HOH, that's probably the highest likelihood because Tiffany is probably the one who would want it the most. I also think the next most likely scenario is Nicole tells Corey, you want it. And he's like, I do. Okay, I want it.
Okay.
And then it goes that way.
Alex, is there any chance potentially that there in this cliffhanger that somehow Glenn could find his way under a dumpster and avoid eviction on Thursday night?
It's worked for Glenn's on television before, Rob. We know that. There are probably worse strategies you can engage in at this point, especially if it's not going to come down to a vote anyway. You know, whatever's going to help you feel pumped up about your chances.
Okay. Do you think it's more likely that Julie Chen comes out with a baseball bat with Glenn's name on it?
Just starts dragging around eeny, meeny, miney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nichen.
It's basically that, you know, someone is getting Jody'd for all intents and purposes, you know, so it's tough, man. No one wants to go out this way. It's everyone's fear.
Look, but I like this. I'm happy with this because I feel like that Big Brother starts slow as far as the TV product goes over the first week, that I feel like that they have adopted the Big Brother Canada format of premiere on Wednesday, first eviction on Thursday. And I know on the first eviction, there's always like, wait, we don't know a lot of what happened on this first eviction, but I do feel like it gets the season off to a fast start as far as the TV show is concerned. Brent, do you like that they've taken the Big Brother Canada approach to the season?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm sort of ambivalent about it. I have to say, because, you know, we're going to lose somebody, and they really didn't get to play Big Brother. They didn't really get to get seen or get to strategize whatsoever. It's going to come down to a comp here. And then we're going to miss most of the week of the person, whoever's the head of household. I mean, if it is Tiffany, we're going to miss a great week of feeds of her being head of household. So I don't even like that idea.
Well, let me just put this out there. Well, I believe that whoever goes home, I do not believe will be leaving the Big Brother lot or at least the handling of Big Brother, because I firmly believe since we are getting an eviction so early, we're going to have double evictions along the way. I think that we will see one of these people that goes out on Thursday night with a chance to come back in the house as a buyback. Alex, are you buying or selling that somebody, whoever is going out, will have a chance to come back in along the way?
It's possible. They've been doing it so consistently that I think we have to expect it. It really, to me, just comes down to like, are they going to give the pre-jury people that opportunity, or are they going to wait and drop it more at like the Johnny Mac Shelley stage of the game?
It's actually, yeah. Is it 99 days? Yeah. I guess that they've been in it.
It's 99 days.
Yeah.
Yep. Also,
one longer than last year, I believe.
The Rob, that CBS told you that they're not doing live interviews for the people who are evicted. They're just doing email interviews. So that is more evidence that possibly they are going to give a buyback to the pre-jurors.
Yeah, we will have our exit interviews we've been doing the last couple of seasons that we will not be talking with house guests, that we will be getting them via email, but we will bring you their email responses. Whoever goes out on Thursday night, we will do that on Friday, and then we will also update the live feeds. Okay, anything else you want to talk about before we jump into some of these questions? Because we got a lot of ground to cover.
Good to go.
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. All right, of course, these questions come in from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast, hashtag RHAP. Then we'll get into our top four power rankings as we come up with our Pick Pete fantasy teams. All right, here we go. Let's start with Edward Morris, who gets us started. Is Paul or Jose more unlikable? Boy, I didn't think that Jose came off as unlikable. Brent, did you?
Maybe to Julie Chen, because he told Julie Chen, hey, Julie Chen, how about you hit the road? So I'm like,
yeah, well, hey, right, that wasn't cool. Don't do that.
That's not happening. So I agree. I found Paul eminently more irritating than Jose. Jose is just, he's playing the game. He's fighting for a spot, trying to get an alliance together, making sure he's not the first one out. Paul just went out of his way to be irritating to not only Davon, but to talk a lot of smack in the diary room.
Let's keep going. Let's go to Get a Grip, who said, at least for modern BB, the HOH coming from the losing team twist has some merit in it giving a power lift or power shift in week one. What are your thoughts? Alex, do you mind that the HOH is coming from the losing group?
I'm okay with that element of it. To me, the part I don't like is just that, you know, if you want to, like, you know, have competitions to whittle down to a team and then have that team whittle down to like two people and then have those two people be on the block for the first week, I like that better. I prefer a scenario where it's not a competition to ultimately decide who's going out. Instead, it's like you have some chance to try to work some social game here.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, I feel like that you're right. It should have been whatever we're doing here where we're like, let's play this down. Okay, you four now are in the mix. And now it's almost like battle of the block to see who's going to end up going up on the block out of this group of four, and then let the two losers then have to campaign rather than a challenge decide who's going home. That does seem un-Big Brother in terms of what we're going to be watching here this summer, that it's going to be different from all the other evictions.
Yeah, I think
it's just a deviation for the first week.
Oh, exactly. So and they can do it like something like first impressions, like, you know, the two people at the end who, you know, have to go up on the block together, and the house guests, you know, vote 3 hours later, and it's your first impressions that carry you through or not. So I don't know.
Yeah, very, very Big Brother Canada in that way.
They'll never bring back that first impressions wheel from BB2, but that would make me so happy. That was a great, great comp.
Okay. Brendan
Proof
Noel,
you don't need a budget for a great comp.
Wants to say, who is your least favorite house guest and why is it Paul? Do you agree? Well, what would say if you had to have a least favorite house guest? I mean, I feel like that there's nobody that I have a strong dislike towards after one night. Is there anybody Brent, do you have any strong negative feelings towards any of the house guests?
No, I don't even have strong negative feelings towards Paul or Jose. And I really liked what I was seeing from Zakiya. Maybe James, but that's just a little bit of carryover from before. And Glenn, because I hated his canned line in the diary room. But, you know, these are nitpicky things, people.
But Paulie was pointing at me a little too much in the diary room. Put that finger down. Stop. Well, don't wag your finger at me. Do not wag your finger at my face.
Rob, he's under a lot of pressure. I mean, like, you know, his brother is, you know, everybody's favorite. He's a pretty boy. He got to the end, you know, runner up, $50,000. And, you know, now he's staring down the barrel of going out first. And he wasn't even picked until 8th out of 12 people.
Right. You know, he doesn't want to potentially crack Taron Armstrong's top 10 list of worst moves on Big Brother this season. Yeah.
Hey, well, his last name is Calafiore, so stay tuned.
That's right. All right. Kevin Paul says, how much longer until we really have to admit that Day is really bad at this game? Well, I did think that Day was very close to being in the Francesca zone here tonight, where I thought that potentially... Wow, you wouldn't think that she would come back and potentially have a worse run out here to be the first one off after being the second one off last season. But Brent, do you feel like, is there still room for Davon to turn this around?
You know, I mean, anything can happen. But I have to say, I've seen a lot of evidence now. And it's not the people. It's Davon. I mean, I love you, girl. But she doesn't have the ability to schmooze with people, to put on a happy face, to make people think that I'm on your side. She just doesn't have any of that. It's mind-boggling to me that somebody who's such a fan of Big Brother can scowl so much when she knows she's being watched by other people. I just don't know why she does that.
Alex, I thought this was a bad spot for her because I think she came in, she's like, hey, I got to play the social game. I got to work with these people. And I think that she was ready to throw down with the vets. I think she was like, here's my team. Here's my team. Frank, James, Nicole, you're my ride or die. Let's go. Let's do this. And then it was like, oh, wait, that's not my team. And she just so happens to be, but I think she could potentially be saved here because it seems like the people who are most likely that want to get rid of the vets have her on their team. So if they do get in power and they target a vet, they won't be able to target her. So I actually feel like she might be okay. And if the vets get power, they're going to target people from her team, but not necessarily her. So I actually feel like that Davon, now that she's gotten through tonight, Alex, I think she'll be here for a little bit. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, it could be interesting. It could be a bit like what we saw with the BB 11 clicks, where it's like there was clearly inner turmoil in the Jocks click, where like if they could have, Russell and Jesse and Natalie would have nominated Jeff and Jeff would have done the same, but they didn't
have
that
choice. Are you kidding
me?
Why would you nominate me out of anybody?
Because you can't spell shotgun.
Rob, I have to tell you, when Paul was talking smack in the diary room to Davon, saying, you know, Davon, we'll let you finish like third or fourth place. I'm like, right now, Davon would take third or fourth place for
yeah, upgrade. Moving up. You're a little, little better. Baby steps for Davon.
She probably wouldn't, but she should maybe consider it. Because, she's in a hole.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Boy. And Brett, was Mama Day this religious the first time around? I feel like that all of a sudden that she started, like, I felt like, I felt really really worried for her. But then she started talking about that she was praying to Jesus and we went to commercial break. And I felt good about that. I said, okay. Bring up Jesus, commercial break. I felt like that then she had it in the bag after that. I felt like that they weren't going to throw her under the bus to be, you know, bringing the name of Jesus into the mix and then have her not winning the competition.
You've been following Zach's edgic, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a really good editing observation. They don't often have someone say, like, I'm doing this for my father who I lost to, you know, whatever, and then have them, like, slip off the silly rocket.
Like, Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. And then have them, like,
silly sound effects.
Sorry,
yeah.
Jesus did not come through for you today. No, he did. He did. Helped out Mama Day. So, fan of Big Sister. All right, let's keep moving along and get to another question. Megan wants to know, was Davon this annoying last season? Oh, man, is Davon annoying, Brent?
She could tone down the attitude a little bit. I mean, I'm a fan of Davon, but she just... I mean, first of all, you had a chance last season. You blew it when you were playing by yourself, okay? So now you're complaining this season that you can't play by yourself. But you already had that chance last season. So what are you complaining about? I mean, just take what they've given you. You've got to play the best show on TV two seasons in a row now for basically having no game whatsoever. I don't understand why she's complaining.
Anessa says, wouldn't you want the cash instead of safety land? Okay, this is a good question. Anessa, I believe, has taken the plunge and is watching The Big Brother this summer. All right, so let's talk about these four different places that you could land, because, and really, what a competition. I mean, there's no better way to start off a Big Brother season than to have the house guests competing on giant phalluses. It's truly the mark that Big Brother season is here. You have to have substances, ejaculating projectile type on the contestants. And it's a real good old fashioned Big Brother competition to kick off the summer. And so here we had these four different things. So that if you came in last, you went to Notberg. Notberg. And so you were a have not. Okay, this was clear. Okay. The second thing was, Alex, what did we call this? Mystery Land?
Mystery Land, yes, Rob. Straight out of Mario Party 2, which is a video game I played a lot in middle school.
Okay, Mystery Land. And you were going to have a mysterious punishment, which is so mysterious, we have no idea what it is, and we still have no idea what it is.
Yeah, hopefully it's not like The Takeover where we never learn at all.
Yes. Yeah. So what do you think? Brent, are we going to find out what Mystery Land
is
going
to
be?
I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow. I think this is just something where they needed four places to go. They had, you know, the have-nots, they had safety, they wanted to give somebody some money, and they were like, well, we can't give them something good for finishing in next to last, so we'll give them some sort of a punishment. And maybe we'll let America vote on it, too.
And then there was what? Cash Land?
City.
And what? A Cash City. And what? How much did each person get?
$2,500 a piece. $10,000 total.
Okay. That's not bad.
Split $10,000.
That's not bad. And then finally was Safety Town, Safeland, which I believe was the location of Glenn's dumpster. So if Glenn could just make it back to the dumpster in Safeland, he'll be okay. But yeah. It didn't seem like the people who got the cash were too pumped up. They seemed like they really wanted
to be safe
of safety. From the block.
That was a thing. I mean, it wasn't just one. It was two evictions that you do not have to worry about. That's massive in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the difference. But, you know, I like the question from Anessa because I, for one, subscribe to the Dr. Will school of thought. I'm always playing for cash. I trust my social game to keep me safe next week. So let's go. Let's make money win the game.
What a gangster. Yeah.
And be beloved in the process.
What a baller.
That's how you play
it.
That's how you have to play it. You only get one life in the Big Brother house. Okay. And so many people go in and play casually and then come out like, so all stars for me? And they're like, should have done it the first time, bro. Should have done it the first time.
Okay. Nick M wants to know, okay, where's the social media mogul? Why? Was there an uproar? Do people want Frankie to come back?
I think a lot of people heard that Frank was coming back and they mixed it up with Frankie.
Got confused.
Yeah. The casuals, they have no idea who Frank from Big Brother 14 is.
What? There's going to be siblings on this season? Oh, okay.
Who wants to sign?
Now,
no.
Okay. Byron.
Ariana, too busy.
Yeah. Is Paulie a DJ or a high level soccer coach? I'm confused.
He is as much of a DJ as Vanessa from last year was a DJ, in that that's her side profession, but her real profession that she's made millions of dollars with is a professional poker player. So, no.
Well, Alex, this DJ stuff sounds like a good racket. I've got all this equipment. Could I get into this?
I believe all you have to do is add it to your LinkedIn, and then it's a done deal, Rob.
Then it's a done deal.
Yeah, you want that on the side? It's done.
Brent, the big subplot from Big Brother 16, the underreported story of the Cagliafori family makeout session was back in full effect tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Are you talking about his dad kissing him like when he's out the door or what?
that is a family that really loves
each
other.
Oh, well, yeah. They're Italian-American. That's just what they do, you know?
It's just what they do. Boy, we must have missed that memo back on Long Island.
Well, obviously not.
Yeah. Okay, this is from Justin Brizantine. This doesn't seem like a popular opinion, but I think that Paul has Zach Rant's upside. Thoughts? What do you think, Alex? Does Paul have Zach Rant's upside?
Yeah, no, I guess I could see that. Certainly, I think that he could be potentially even a little more strategic than Zach. Zach, you know, he had a decent idea of what he was doing, but there were some times where fans were certainly a little frustrated that, and part of it was Derek was just so good, but fans were hoping to see, like, maybe Zach can get in there, maybe Zach can figure this out. Paul seems like he might be perceptive enough to pick up on some things that, you know, even if his personality turns people against him and it seems like the tides are against him, you know, who knows? He may be able to, like, pull an Austin Mattelson and, like, apologize his
okay,
way out of it.
Okay, you've used up your two yeah. Austin Mattelson references tonight. I don't want to hear his name again. Thank you.
Deal. This is a deal.
Christina Davis wants to know, do you guys think that the HOH will always come from the losing team? That really creates an interesting setup opportunity for throwing comps. No, because they're going to kick somebody out. So somebody is going to be eliminated. So I don't know necessarily how it's going to go. Like, it almost like there would be no way to, from a game, theoretically speaking, I don't know how you would have somebody like have a competition and whoever loses it, then people go up on the block, but one person from the group is safe. It just, there's no way that that would make sense. Right, Alex?
Yeah. I really can't see it.
Yeah. No, I think that we will have on Sunday night a new competition, and that new competition will be something involving the teams, and we'll see how that plays out. Okay. Cameron says, what kind of challenge can we expect heading into tomorrow's show? Physical, mental, endurance, and which freakazoid do you think is most likely to lose in each case? I think the answer might be the same all the way around, but can either of you guys come up with a scenario? What is the dream scenario for Glenn? Dog grooming. No.
I mean, he needs to, like, what kind of competition should he hope for?
Yes.
Yeah, dog grooming's a good one.
Big Brother history.
Yeah, nothing too physical, maybe, you know, because Corey's, you know, going to crush it. Nothing too, like, puzzly, because that seems up Tiffany's alley. Right? You know, maybe it's like, you know, hey, Rob, what Perry Como song is this? Name that prune.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Good one.
Set up for success there.
Good. You know what, that Glenn, to stick up for Glenn a little bit, didn't like it when Jose said, hey, Glenn, 50 is not the
new 20. Was a little two-faced. Like,
didn't need to bury Glenn like that. Like, I think Glenn knows he's not 20, so you didn't need to really say that.
Yeah,
also.
Come on, it's bad enough. I don't know if you noticed, he's the one guy in the swimsuit pictures they made wear a shirt. Come on, Glenn knows. He knows.
Stop it. He doesn't even have had a chance to flirt with any of the women yet to use
that's
it to his advantage.
His big strategy.
His ace in the hole. That's what he said in all his interviews. Okay, Sheena, 123. If you were playing, which returning player team would you like to be on and why? Have you given any thought to this, Alex?
Oh, man. It's an interesting question.
It's easy. Frank.
You'd want to play with Frank.
Yeah, he's a loyal
guy.
Because... he's always going to be a bigger target. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your line.
But at the same time, James is a loyal guy, might be a bigger target, and is so easy.
He's actually
so much more easily
manipulated. Smaller target, from what I've seen.
Frank seems to have come back with like a little bit of like something that makes me scared of him. You know, like I knew where he stood in Big Brother 14, but he really might. He seems like, if we're giving out superlatives, these four returnees most likely to have stepped it up. I think, like, from the little we've seen at this point, that probably looks like Frank. So I'd be a little more wary than I would of the guy I saw.
Honestly, and the other three seem to have just played they're playing the exact same game that they played last time. Are you with me on that? Like, that's
Yeah, and maybe it's just not been enough time for them to really, like, take time, process, like, did I do... You know, it's hard to, like, admit you made wrong,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to say, like, somebody else did something or circumstances didn't go your way, but given enough time, you got to think that, you know, people will stop and, you know, look back, and certainly Frank seems to have, you know, he assessed in the DR pretty correctly what he needs to do differently.
I mean, it's only one night. He does seem like he has made an adjustment. It is very funny, though, to see that we have somebody from Big Brother 14... Then we skipped Big Brother 15, Big Brother 16, and then two people from Big Brother 17. Is it funny to you guys how far CBS has gone to wipe Big Brother 15 from our collective memories, Alex?
I think it's sad. I like Big Brother 15. I think it gets a bad rep. Obviously, the way it played out was very unfortunate and really left kind of a... a press, you know, black mark on CBS and everything. And I can understand the want to distance yourself from it. But certainly there's some people I think that are going to end up like maybe not getting a chance to play again. That's a shame because I would like to see a few play.
I mean, it's really, I guess I should say it's unprecedented, but I guess the Big Brother also kind of does that with Big Brother 9. So there's just like some seasons that they say like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, we don't talk about them.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you could say maybe the same is true for Survivor. There's a couple seasons that they just don't really
Guatemala.
But not to the degree that Big Brother does not talk about Big Brother 9 and Big Brother 15. Okay, this is from Bejeweled Blitz Star. Do you think that Jose and Zakiya's decision to align with Paul will be good or bad for their games? What do you think, Brent? Is this a bad deal to get wrapped up with
No, I
Paul?
Think it's actually a good decision. I mean, I can't imagine that Paul is going to be anything other than the leader of that alliance. And if anybody comes for them, they're going to go for the leader. So I think Jose and Zakiya should be fine for now.
Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I think both short term and long term, you know, not knowing what's to come. I mean, within reason, it looks really good because, you know, obviously they look like the most cohesive team right now. They look like, you know, and you don't necessarily want 100% cohesive team because you may need a fall guy. We don't know exactly how it's going to play out. So having three locked in a team of four, that's really great. And it's also great to not be the one, not be the bad guy. You know what I mean? If Paul, if they end up like doing something that, you know, makes them look bad as a group, you know, 99 times out of 100, it's probably going to come back on Paul because he's just that outspoken and that brash. So it's good to be seen as like kind of, you know, Paul's like the good cop to Paul's bad cop, I would think.
Here's the problem. Here's where this is all going to just go to hell. So we saw that with Paul and Zakiya and Jose that they were like, okay, it's us three. Okay, great. We are working together to get rid of the veterans. But then they have like this meeting with all of the other newbies. And it's like, okay, it's us. Okay, it's us. We're not going to... Look, one of the newbies is going to go. Inevitably, sometime that has probably already happened in our real time, one of the newbies will confide this information to a veteran, which will then circulate around the house like wildfire among the veterans. The veterans will get back together all on the same page. We have to get rid of this troublemaker. This one who started talking about we have to get rid of the vets, and then that person will become the target of the eviction, and then all of the new players will fold and get scared and then go hiding. And I feel like that we could be in a regulators Big Brother 13 type situation. Is that fair or unfair, Brent?
I think that's a little unfair. I mean, it did seem like everybody in that room seemed to be on the same page. I mean, I know that maybe Zakiya and Paul...
Corey won't tell Nicole?
I don't know. I mean, probably. You're probably right. I'm hoping he doesn't, just because I think it would make for a more exciting season. But they also have to be able to do something about it. They also have to be able to get power. And there's no... It doesn't say anywhere where whoever gets power for HOH is going to want to go after the troublemaker in the first place. They might want to keep the troublemaker in the house.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised that potentially Paul could be the first one out the door after Glenn in this scenario where Nicole becomes the first HOH, where then Corey ends up confiding in her about this plot from the, I mean, this could be a real Big Brother 13 redux where we end up with Jose and Zakiya and Paul being the first three people out of the game.
Well, if that happens, then Jose and Zakiya need to really distance themselves from Paul and say, oh no, we're fine. We love you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but I think it's also important to remember that like there are distinctions here between 13 and this. More people would need to flip for that to happen in this instance, by a few. And also there's no like the dynamic that really drove how that change was going to come about was like you just like I just remember Evil Dick, you know, just like laying into Portia. You know what I mean? And it's just, it really just showcased like that it was like, you know, an AK versus, you know, like a pocket knife in the battle of wits. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's necessarily that lopsided this season. You know, some of these new players are savvy. A lot of these returnees aren't that great.
That's a good point about these particular returnees that they brought back. There were two different stories that we heard in the preseason. There was one story where it was like, well, Derek, Vanessa, Ian and Audrey are coming back into the house. And it was like, okay, new players are sort of shaking in their boots about what they could potentially go up against. And then you had one scenario where it's like, yeah, the second boot from last season, a guy who really who hid around the house all over the place is coming back. And Nicole and Frank from Big Brother 14, like these are not necessarily the greats of the great that were coming back to this season. So it's fun when you bring back returnees who are not necessarily the people who like this is not Boston Rob playing for his fourth time coming.
No,
back
this
to
feels
the house.
Very much like Survivor Caramon, where they brought back the fan favorites, and you're like. Who are these people? Like, really?
Well, how did... But even then, still, how did that go,
there was
Brent?
A couple people that knew what they were doing on that season.
Yeah, we were down to, what, like three fans left by the time we got to the merge. So it did not go favorably for the fans even then. So we'll see. Okay, a couple more questions to get through. Sally Berger, which cast member were you most surprised by? Alex, was there somebody that stood out to you?
I guess Paul did surprise me. I mean, in a way that I should think like I had hopes for kind of this to be his character, but I didn't necessarily expect it. You know, how many people do we see come out and just talk such a big game in the preseason interviews and really just like seem like they're going to be like such a big personality and a big character? And then once you get in the house, it's just like you just set about to, you know, living your life and it doesn't really play out that way. So Paul seems to have delivered in a way that I didn't
Tiffany
necessarily
surprised me with how badly she seems to be playing right now. Like, I couldn't believe her face when Michelle confronted her with, you know, I know who you are. You're Vanessa's sister. And she was like, Vanessa who? Oh, Vanessa from last season. Like, and then she admitted it. Like, what are you doing here? Like, this is amateur hour. What is this?
Yeah. Now I'll say I kind of did a 180 on Michelle, but I felt like that she ended up, I thought she was pretty good tonight. And then I did a 180 from Michelle from when we did our preview. And I thought I said that I picked her as the winner and then I was out on her. And I guess I'm kind of back in at this point. So it's 360 for me on Michelle.
And you're,
at this
you're
point.
Back in on her because why?
Hey, doesn't like you either, Brent. You too. Stop laughing, Alex. Doesn't like you either. Okay. And then finally, I feel like that Natalie wasn't a disaster as much as I thought that she was going
to
be.
Glad to see
either.
It.
So I
nice to see a hot better, Latina better girl in there spicing it up, and she actually has a shot to win this.
Just okay. Might be the kind of person I would get frustrated with an alliance because all my metaphors would get lost when I realized 30 minutes later she doesn't know what any of my words mean.
Yeah. All right. Hiya Hi says, was tonight's immunity challenge competition last year's scrapped Survivor themed BB takeover? I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm tempted to play the takeover music, but we will. I will decline yet. I don't want to scare too many people away with sound effects on night one. R. Vandervest, is Tiffany officially screwed or will the Glenn Nicole targets save her? I think that Tiffany will come through this okay.
I do
right,
too.
Brent?
I don't see it. She's not going anywhere. The Big Brother is not going to let their star cast member, Vanessa's sister, go out on the second night. It ain't happening. You heard it here.
Okay. Oh, I'm not putting my flag on that at all. You guys can own that one. I think it's very, like, right. Very possible.
Very possible. All right. You want to give odds on this?
Oh, I think it's probably, I think Nicole, Corey, you know, I think it's maybe almost even money between her and Glenn.
Wow.
I think Tiffany could definitely go. They've got a reason to get rid of her at this point. What's the reason to get rid of Glenn? That he's non-threatening and there?
Okay. All right. And then one more question and then we'll do our power rankings. Alex Honer wants to know, over under on how many newbies actually knew who Frank was. What do you think, Alex?
Well, Michelle came running up to hug them. You knew she knew, but I would say like probably no more than two other people.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Brent, you have
four
a take on this?
Out of 12. Like one third.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't seem like a ton of them ultimately knew. You figure, okay, who knew? Glenn knew? Michelle knew?
I think you figure Bronte Zakiya knew. Probably knew.
So let's go ahead and let's talk about our teams that we are picking as our power rankings over on pickpete.com, where you can draft your own Big Brother team and give us your top four, predict the final four on pickpete.com. All right. So now this is a little different. You guys drafted with Jordan the other night. And the difference here is that you could pick any four people. There's no oh, you have this person, I have this person. So let's try, let's go around the horn real quick and give us your top four people that you could put on your team. You're looking for the top four players of the season to make it to the final four. Alex, if you had to give us your top four power rankings tonight, who would it be?
All right. Well, I guess, you know, and also we have a bit more perspective now. It's only a couple hours, but it, to me, it does change some things. Coming into tonight, I had Frank at number one, and I think he's going to stay there for me because I saw what I wanted to see from Frank. You know, certainly I talked about coming in that Frank needed to be able to, A, not be such a physical threat, and B, back off the intensity. And what did we see? We saw young, clean-cut, less buff Frank come in and play nice with everybody. That's exactly what I was looking for. So I can't take Frank down from that, from what we've seen. Definitely, I want to go Zakia. Zakia, I think, looks really good. I talked a little bit about how, you know, I think that it's probably good to be in that Paul group as long as you're not Paul, because like if there is fallback, it's going to come on Paul first. Probably it gives you a week to scramble off the sinking ship if it comes down to that. And, you know, Zakia seems like somebody who's like, even if she's in the room when they're having these conversations, she's like kind of going along with it, which is what you want to see from somebody. She should be able to go along with other things as well. I'm going to put Michelle up there. I thought some of the things I was concerned about coming into the season with Michelle, about like being outspoken or being, you know, like having a hard time making a first impression. She didn't have to seem to have any of those problems. So she's looking good. And then for my last pick, I think I will go with Bronte, because she, you know, we were worried that she might immediately play her way out the door. And if she's not going to do that, it looks like she probably won't, then she could be in it for a while.
Yeah, she was very fun. I was watching Entertainment Tonight right before they came on, and they were like closing Entertainment Tonight with Bronte clip. So I think that Bronte is getting the big push from Big Brother, and not like Helen did, Alex, right?
Okay. Yeah, all right. That's not the push you want.
Oh, no, you don't want that push. Okay, Brent, who's your top four right
now? I'm sticking with Jose because I do think that Paul or Zakia, she seems to have a little bit of a temper, maybe kind of like Devon a little bit, just a little feistiness there. I think of the three of them or the four of them, he would be the one that's targeted the least. So he's going to be my number one. I like what Alex said about Frank, and I do agree. I did notice a little bit of a gut on Frank, believe it or not.
Oh, God. Are you're fat shaming Frank?
I'm just saying that's good for him because he's not like a...
Some people are chubby chasers, if you haven't heard.
Well, I'm just saying from a strategic point of view.
That's in now.
Oh,
that's coming
God.
Back.
Okay. I like it that he's not the tank that he was during Big Brother 14. Then I'm going to switch out. Alex had Michelle. I liked Bridget. I think she was really sharp. Concise in what she said, introspective, and seemed to have empathy for some of the people in the house that I don't think a lot of other people had. I think she's someone that they can trust. And lastly, I'm also going to take Bronte, believe it or not. I've done a 180 on Bronte. Wow. I really have. Wow. I like the strategy that she's talked about in the diary room. She seems very fun. I think people are going to look past her now. She doesn't seem as annoying as I thought she was. And if they look past her, they will regret it.
I tried to come up with a group that I could sort of see how they ultimately end up working together in the end. And I told you that I like this category four group, not necessarily that I'm rooting for them, but I feel like that they're going to be a force. And I see Frank and Paulie being sort of the power players here. So I'm going to have Frank at one, Paulie at two. I think Nicole is going to work with these guys eventually when she ditches her team. I'll have Nicole at three, and then Bridget, I think that she sticks around. So basically, I think that it's the category four as currently constituted, but they sub out Michelle for Nicole because I think they feel like that Michelle gets too schemey and they'll go with the known quantity in Michelle, in Nicole. So that is what my team is going to look like. On PickPete.com, you have up until next week. So you could even ride out this first eviction. You know, you could sort of like wait and see how it plays out. You don't have to lock in your picks until next week. So you can check that out at PickPete.com. That's PickPete.com. All right. So here's what's going on from here. So tomorrow night, Thursday night, we will be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be with Taryn Armstrong, Some people were wondering if he was indeed suspended for tonight's show after his terrible take about the worst moves of all time with Jordan Parra. That is not the case. I did not go through with suspending him. So he will be live with us with Jordan Parhar on Thursday night at 10:15 p.m. So I'm excited to talk about our first eviction. And then on Friday, we will be doing an update of the live feeds because, again, we are going to have the live feeds turn on Thursday night. So be on the lookout for that. So we will do an update on Friday morning, early afternoon of what has been going on in the house overnight. Plus, we will get our exit interview questions with the first person who's kicked out of the house. And we will talk, we'll not talk with them, but we will read you our exit interview questions and go through what they said as well in a special bonus Friday coverage here. And then on Sunday night, we will have our first Sunday night show. And because of the Game of Thrones finale, look for that again at around 10:15 p.m. on Sunday night, myself and Taryn Armstrong to go over that show. All right. Guys, do you have a hashtag?
Oh, the only thing I could think of, because we got a lot of her, was, and she wants to be on it, is Team Davon.
Team Davon.
Yes. Well, we are Team Davon. Come on, Rob.
We are very pro Davon. Alex, you have a contender for the hashtag?
Oh, man. I'm always so bad. Like, I tell myself at the beginning of every podcast, I'm going to write some
Davon. I wrote down one. So there.
Yeah, I think that I see that work DJ hashtag Glenn's dumpster.
I was going to say that is pretty good.
The only thing that could save Glenn is finding that dumpster somewhere along the way for Thursday night.
It's both topical and not too topical that like the stuff that pertains to other things won't also be coming up right around this time. We've gotten a few months away from it.
So. Hey, I'm so excited to be back talking with you guys, and it's going to be such a fun summer. We'll be live after all of the episodes. Of course, the live feeds kick off on Thursday night. If you want to get your live feeds and be ready to go to robiswebsite.com/live feeds. Anything else you guys want to say about this 2-hour premiere?
No, I'm really thrilled that we got 2 hours. We really got to know these people. I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of who these people are. You know, all 12 house guests, and we already know who the four returning players are. Very excited to see how this season plays out. I'm thrilled with it, and there's no Battle of the Block. I'm just ecstatic about that.
I'm very excited, you guys that watched us live. Almost 2,000 people joined us for this live show tonight. So very excited about that you guys were lots of fun stuff to say in the chat room. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Of course, you could subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast on iTunes. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or search for RHAP in your favorite podcatcher. Or you can even get our Big Brother only feed at robhasawebsite.com/BB. Podcast. Take care. Have a great night, everybody.